Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
It said that Billy Graham said he was sorry to say that 95% of the people that came forward in his years of crusades aren't really Christians. Now, my friend, if that doesn't rattle your cage a little bit.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, where truth is a person, and the radio host is not very important to the grand scheme of things, and that is okay with me. But I'm glad to be with you today, and my prayer is that in the next few minutes, God Almighty would infuse truth into your heart and life. And really, that is what Truth Infusion as a title is all about. Professionally, I am an RN, and I've spent many years in the medical field. And when God called Jennifer and I to begin a new thing, and when Truth Infusion was kind of at the ground level, started seeking the Lord for what He would have us call this work and this ministry. And the concept of infusing the truth was brought to me, and I think quite often about infusing medication via an IV into a patient. The patient comes to the doctor, has a sickness, a disease process of some sort, and if the doctor does the right job of diagnosing the problem, he might order a treatment that involves IV medication. And that's where I come in, because I haven't seen many doctors start an IV, but that nurse will come in and do that, won't they? And that we put that needle, that catheter, into the vein so that the correct medication can be infused, there's the word, can be infused into the body. And if the right medication is prescribed, then it will meet that person at the point of their need at that disease process, and healing will come. And that's why Corey says that at the beginning of all of our shows, that the body of Christ, the church in 2016, is sick. A lot of things wrong with it, especially in America. The persecuted church around the world in the third world countries is much more of a pure bastion of the truth than the church of America is. We're falling apart at the seams because we have lost sight of the real truth. The American church specifically is sick in many, many ways. Now, I love the church. Don't get me wrong. I love the church. You see, I've been involved in the church all my life. In fact, before I was born, when my mother was pregnant with me, they would put the name of the unborn baby on the roll. It was called the cradle roll. And if your mother was pregnant, they would put your name on the cradle roll, and you were already being added to the numbers, right? I've been in the church since before I was born now. I know something about it. I know something about it. And I know there are a lot of difficulties and problems in the church. And my heart goes out to that, because I also see and identify in the Word of God what the church is supposed to be, what the original intent for God's outreach mechanism to the world, the church of Jesus Christ, is supposed to be, what it can be, what it should be. What we see in the original intent in that first generation church of the apostles, and what we know is capable through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when I look at the church today, we are a far cry from that. In fact, we look a lot more like the church that Paul was talking to Timothy about, when he said that there would be a falling away from the truth as the people would heap to themselves teachers. They would scratch their itching ears, tell them what they wanted to hear, and soothe their conscience, if you will, by tickling their ears and not giving them the truth, the only way that a man can be saved and set apart for the work of the Lord is through the unadulterated, unchanged truth. And because of all these issues, I know that the church needs an infusion of the truth. And that's what we're all about, and that's why we are here. And really with that in mind, as a very generalized backdrop, we're going to start a teaching series today that very possibly is one of the more heavy teachings that God has ever placed on me to date. Is not something that came spontaneous to me. Sometimes ministers will tell you that sermons do. Sometimes all of a sudden God has just revealed truth. In this case, that's not really what's happened. I've been patiently seeking after the Lord on a particular subject matter. I did not want to rush it because I knew that I could not sermonize this topic. Okay, to sermonize is to deliver an opinionated or a dogmatic speech. And this particular topic cannot be based on opinion, or all I will do is add to the problem. You see, there are certain instances, many instances, in fact, where the opinion of man does nothing but cloud the issue. What we need in many cases is the truth. We need the truth to be infused. And so God began to put upon my heart a pretty heavy word several months ago, really, in fact, as I was studying through the book of John again, came through some passages in John that seemed to have a common thread that I was seeing in the Word that I had not really recognized before. And as I began to see this common thread bear itself out, a concept and an idea began to formulate. And then, as God has done a few times in the past, I began to hear other preachers and teachers, or perhaps something that I was reading that some other theologian or scholar was writing, that began to add meat to the skeleton of this sermon, this teaching that God was placing on me. And all this came to a climax, I suppose, about a week or two ago. I was able to go into the jail with my brother Chuck, brother-in-law, in fact. He's one of the preachers for Truth Infusion Ministries, and he specializes in the deliverance ministry. Now, at Truth Infusion, when we say deliverance ministry, we're not talking about delivering someone from demons. That's the modern-day Americanized concept of a deliverance ministry. You don't see that type of ministry in the Word of God. Now, you see people that are healed and have demons driven out of them, but nobody specializes in deliverance. No preacher is set here on earth with the calling from God to go around throwing out demons. You see, we all have authority over demonic forces. We are here to preach and teach the Word of God, to infuse the truth. Now, if along the way the Holy Spirit calls us to act in that way of authority where the name and the person of Jesus Christ in and through us drives a demon from someone, then so be it. And there are many examples in the Word and in present modern day where that is the case. You see, there are still demons that are invading bodies, and there are still people with the name of Jesus Christ who have authority over those demons, but I don't believe in a deliverance ministry of that nature. But what I do believe in is a preacher, a Word of God preacher, whose heart is after seeing people be delivered from their past lifestyles of addiction and sin, whose heart is after those that are lost in the heavy chains of addiction or perhaps pornography or whatever sin burden has strapped them down. And Chuck, man, he comes from that lifestyle, who's set free from those things, and his heart is after those addicts. And so he goes into places like the jails and the centers and the rehab centers to affect that type of ministry. But he's just preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, guys. But enough of that. I got to go in with Chuck into one of the jails that he ministers in and got a chance to preach. And God put on my heart, though I didn't feel like I was ready yet, it was time to deliver this sermon that I'm building up to today, that I want to spend some time just setting up today and building a foundation for the reason why this teaching is so important in our modern day American church. But I got a chance to deliver this word to about 60, 70, 80 guys in that prison chapel that night. And the Holy Ghost came on down and preached that word for me. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people were affected in a powerful way as we began to talk about something that was very real in a jail cell and in a jailhouse. Well, 3 days later, I was in a somewhat similar situation as I walked into a restitution center that I spend a lot of time in ministering to some men that are there to learn about Jesus Christ as the only answer for the malady of sin that they carry. Now, it's a place that those that struggle with drugs and alcohol and other addictions come, but we don't talk about drugs and alcohol at Straight Street. You see, we talk about the answer to all sin. See, if I can introduce somebody to the person of Jesus Christ, and they can get involved with the creator of their soul and the lover of their soul, then all of their issues can be corrected, not because we give them 12 steps and hoops to jump through, but because the only one that can fix the heart of man is introduced to them. And I got a chance to take this same teaching, and this time, instead of 30 or 40 minutes in a sermon-type setting, I was able to really expand this over about 2 hours and teach what God has put on my heart for this moment. 2 days after that, just this last Sunday morning, I was invited to a church in the White Oak, Texas area. And I was able to meet with the pastor beforehand in his office and tell him what God had on my heart and let him know that God was doing a mighty work through the truth of this heavy message, and that I was told by the Lord that I was to bring this word today. Now, I told the pastor, I don't know what that's going to amount to and what the end result will be today, but I want you to know what we're going to be doing when I take the pulpit today. And the pastor was all for it, and I want to tell you that what happened at the end of that sermon to this day, as I sit behind this microphone right now, is just amazing to me when I recollect and recall what the Lord did last Sunday. But I'm not going to talk about the effect of that moment now. Perhaps we'll do that in one or two shows down the road. I would imagine that really to flesh this teaching out, we're going to have to take a 2 or 3 weeks to do that. And so be it. I want to take my time with it. But enough of the mystery. What I want to do for the next few weeks is I want to bring for you the teaching that God has given me that I've entitled, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Counterfeit Salvation. Counterfeit Salvation. Now, immediately, when you offer just those two words, many things should begin rolling out in your heart, in your mind. Just an examination, briefly, of the word counterfeit. What does that mean? Well, immediately, you probably, like me, think about counterfeit money. There's all kinds of things that can be produced as a counterfeit, but the most well-known would be the counterfeit money. There are people that are masterminds at taking what is a very complicated system, our monetary system here in America or other monetary systems in the world, but the Treasury Department in America goes above and beyond to create money. $1 bill, $20, $10, $100 bill, and do it in such a way that it is very, very difficult to replicate and to produce a counterfeit bill. What counterfeit money is, as you well know, but let's, for the sake of just defining it, let's go ahead and talk about it. What counterfeit money is something that is not real. It's not produced by the Treasury of the United States of America. It's not bona fide. But what it is so close to the real thing that unless you are an expert at hunting out the counterfeit and finding the differences between the fake and the real, unless you have the expertise to do that, the counterfeit will fool you. We're not talking about Monopoly money. You see, nobody walks into the store, puts the goods from the store up on the counter and lays down monopoly money. It's not going to work. They're going to laugh at you. You're probably not even going to be arrested for attempting to steal from them. They're probably just going to laugh you out of the store because everybody can recognize monopoly money or play money, a child's toy money from a mile away. We're not talking about that. Counterfeit money looks like the real thing. It's so close, in fact, to the reality of what real money looks like that the vast majority of those that see it, touch it, or even examine it could not tell the difference. So with that in mind, when I say counterfeit salvation, you ought to see where I'm coming from immediately. We're talking about something that looks so close to the real thing, salvation that is, that it will fool you, it will fool the onlooker. It is very, very difficult for someone to tell the difference. So real, in fact, that not only will it fool those that look upon your life, but you may even fool yourself. And just as a means to set this up, about a month ago perhaps, I was ministering in a revival. This particular revival, the band and I were doing the worship. A fantastic evangelist was there. His name is Bill Say, out of Atlanta, Georgia. If you want to look at an amazing testimony, I mean, it should be made into a movie, this man's life. Then you go look up and get information on Brother Bill Say, S-A-Y-E, a wonderful preacher, has seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds come to know the Lord through his ministry. Really amazing guy. And he was preaching a similar sermon. He took a little bit of a different tack than what the Lord has given me, but in his introduction, he made this statement. He made the statement that the Reverend Billy Graham has been quoted as saying that 75% of those that attend church on any given Sunday are not saved. They are not going to heaven. Now, this is Billy Graham, Truth Seekers. And his quote was that 75% of those that attend church on a regular basis will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm a person that hears something like that, and I say, wow, the same as you might have, but I want to go and look for that quote myself before I start to use it in a sermon or present it in teaching. Now, I went looking, and here's what I found. I found some sources that said, Billy Graham said 75%, just like Bill Say said. I found other sources that said that Billy Graham, in fact, said 85%. 10% greater. One man I was looking at said that Billy Graham made this quote. In fact, I wrote this one down. It said that Billy Graham said he was sorry to say that 95% of the people that came forward in his years of crusades aren't really Christians. Now, my friend, if that doesn't rattle your cage a little bit, then I don't know what will. But let me tell you what else I found when I was looking for that quote. Just wanted to be sure that what I was going to offer was going to be real in quoting someone. I found this. Not only Billy Graham, but one of my favorite writers, A.W. Tozer. I read him on a semi-regular basis. Many times a week I'll read something from Tozer. Fantastic theologian, man of God. Tozer said 90% of so-called Christians would not see the kingdom of heaven. W.A. Criswell, an amazing man of God, one of the great pastors of America's modern day. He pastored the First Baptist of Dallas for many, many years. He said 75%. And those are all just all-star preachers and evangelists and teachers of the Word. And they all are agreeing that a vast majority of the people we sit beside in the pews every Sunday, maybe have served with them in the church for years, are not really saved. They have a counterfeit salvation. But hey, let's say this. Billy Graham, A.W. Tozer, W.A. Criswell, they're men. Just like you and I are human beings, fallible, we can have opinions and be wrong. But let me tell you about one man who has opinions that has never been wrong. His name is Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus perhaps even taught something very similar to what these men have said. Jesus said, if you recall, in the parable of the four soils, I don't want to take a lot of time to review that, but Jesus said that the heart of any individual man or woman is like unto one of four soils that a farmer might sow seed on to grow his crops. That your heart and my heart represents one of these four types of soils. And I don't have time to go into all of those and teach all of that, but one of the soils was just a hardened pathway, a wayside that was used for travel. It was so hard that no seed could break the surface of the soil and the birds would come and pluck the seed away. Now in this parable, the seed represents the truth. The truth that is being sown. Another of these soils has the soil there, but is the soil is full of rocks and stones. So that when the sun beats down, there's not enough depth of soil for the seed to take root and to grow a harvest, to grow fruit, and so the sun burns it up. The third soil was also full of other seeds besides the good seed, and those seeds were thorns and thistles and briars, and they grew up at the same time that the good seed did and choked it out. And the fourth soil, the remaining soil, the last soil, was the only one of the four that was good for retaining the seed, growing the crop, and producing fruit. You see, Jesus himself even said that only one out of four soils, only one out of four types of heart can receive the seed and produce fruit. So even by Jesus' standard, only 25% of those that listen to his teaching. Now, this is Jesus teaching them, not just somebody like me, full of mistakes and trial and sin. I'm a human that acts like a human from time to time, truth seekers. I'll be honest, hey, just ask my wife. She knows. But this is Jesus saying this. When I cast the seed, Jesus says, only one out of four hearts are able to receive it in such a way that fruit is produced. So Jesus even tells us that at best, 75% of those that hear the truth do not receive the truth. We're talking about counterfeit salvation with this teaching. It's no small thing. Let me ask you this question. I want to spend just a little bit of time as we conclude this show today. We've got about 5 minutes left. We're going to spend that time looking at what is going to be the springboard verse to get us into this teaching. And then I want to tell you kind of what we're going to do for the next few weeks as we look at a very weighty and important subject. But here's the question that I've asked these last few times I've been able to present this teaching to these different groups of people I was speaking of earlier. This is the question that I started out with. If I were to ask you this, what would you say? What are the scariest words that a person could ever hear? Someone speaking a statement to you, and you were to think about your life and the things that really are areas of your life that would bring the greatest fear if that thing came to be. What would it be? What would it be? I asked this, especially in the small group session that I had at the Straight Street. I asked that, and I got some great responses from those guys. One of the guys was very honest and said, if someone told me, you're broke, you're bankrupt, everything you've worked in your life to achieve is gone. He said that the thought of that was very scary because in many ways, that's what he was staring at. One of the other guys said, I can tell you what it was for me. He said his only son there, 8 months old, was going into surgery. And through that time of the surgery, waiting for the doctor to come and say that everything went okay. And everything did go okay. But you know, in those moments, the worst thoughts come to mind. And he knew The scariest words he could hear was, "I'm sorry, we lost him." What would the scariest words be for you, truth seeker? Would it include the word cancer? Would it be a call that said there was an accident and she didn't make it? Would it include the word murder or suicide or rape or something just tragic like that? And there's an argument to be made for all of those things. But I believe I can tell you what the scariest words a man could ever hear are. And I believe that Jesus Christ Himself told us what those words were 2,000 years ago, and He pointed to the fact that there is going to come a day when Jesus will repeat the scariest words a man or woman, boy or girl, could ever hear many, many times to many, many people. You see, all of those issues that I listed a moment ago, as horrible as they are, as frightening, they're nightmare situations. But they are temporary situations, all of them. The scariest words a man or woman could ever hear is not based in the temporal, it's based in the eternal. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus Christ said this, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are a worker of lawlessness. I never knew you." I believe, truth seeker, that many modern day church members think they are saved and they are really only deceived. They have a counterfeit salvation. It looks real. It fools a lot of people, maybe even themselves. But it's not real. And they stand to hear the scariest words that could ever be heard by a human. Jesus Christ saying, "I never knew you." We got to talk about this. It's too important. You've got to come back and hear what this counterfeit salvation looks like. I'll see you next week. Until then, God bless you, my friend. You keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.